Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Poop and pee and poop and pee, poop and pee and poop and pee, poop and pee and poop and pee, poop and pee and 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 poop and pee, poop and pee, poop and pee, poop and pee, poop and pee.
Okay, all right. We started. That was a chunky intro, but you know what?
The poop had a lot of energy.
It did. It did. Hello. And welcome to Fantasy Boys, everybody.
Fantasy Boys.
It is your boys with a Z. Ryan DiPerna, Bill Squire, Brian Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
What up? Bill and I have been out.
Mm-hmm.
We are...
We've had some drinks.
Brian's going to have to be the straight man here. And actually, we brought Brian to tell us...
All right, we got to settle something.
Yes.
Ryan, I've had some... alcohols today, and mm-hmm. we got to talking about hot dogs as we do. And no, there was a commercial, an Arby's commercial, and Ryan said, pickles are the most underrated condiment.
Correct.
And I said, they are not a condiment, they are a topping. He's like, well, pickles are the same thing as relish, which they're not, and we already established that part. So, Brian, you have to settle this. Are pickles a topping or a condiment?
It's really tough. I am going to go with...
Do you want to hear our arguments?
Yeah, let's hear the arguments.
All right, first of all...
It's so tough. I almost feel like pickles should be a condiment on a burger and then a topping on anything else.
Well, okay. You don't go to a ball game. You have onions there, right? At the condiment station?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fucking topping station.
Do you have pickles at that same station?
You don't, but we're talking about separate things. I'm talking about the autonomy of whether or not something is. I'm talking about, you know what? Toppings and condiments, they have autonomy over themselves, Bill. If the Me Too movement hasn't taught you
now,
anything.
Now, I do have to throw this out there. If you were...
Onions on a pizza.
Would you say I got, like, let's say you got a sausage and onion pizza. Would you say I got a topping and a condiment on my pizza?
No, because a condiment is for dipping in pizza situation.
If we're gonna keep this black and white, it's a condiment or a topping.
If you were to, now, let me riddle you this.
Goes out the window with that.
Fair enough.
That would have to have a black and white answer too.
Fair enough. Let me riddle you this though. All right. What if? It's a pizza, but there are chunky onions in the sauce.
Then it's part of the sauce.
That's part of the sauce.
But you wouldn't say that's a separate topping, even though you would bite in.
The sauce a condiment.
No, but if you bit into a chunk of onion, even though if it was emulsified into the sauce, you wouldn't say that it's a. But you wouldn't say it was a part of a topping. You're still fucking
chunky onion.
Yeah, it's
by definition.
All right. Well, you're right. You caught me in a semantic lie, Brian.
It's an important part
right.
of the
okay,
statement.
So
all right.
It comes to that, so that's his thing. My thing is a pickle is a topping because you have to – it's about the substance of it. It is a cucumber. Now, it has been brined, but mm-hmm. it is a vegetable. So it's put on like a topping, just like you would lettuce, just like you would tomato. Just like you would onions. Those are toppings. Condiments are more of the sauce variety where you are
traditionally
squeezing them out of
traditionally.
A bottle.
Traditionally, but
or
relish is
them.
Certainly a condiment.
Ah! And
but pickles.
I agree with that because there's more ingredients added and there's a process that you have to make relish. You don't just.
You can
have,
also pour it out of a squeeze bottle.
Right.
Or
you
like
can't
a,
pour a pickle out of a squeeze bottle.
This is true.
Relish is a condiment.
I believe I can make my.
If it's cool enough, you can.
I believe I can make my judgment.
Okay.
It's topping.
It's a topping?
Topping. Ah,
bullshit. Topping. Bullshit. Wait a minute. Fucking at Fantasy Boys Pod, agree with me, please. Drag these fucking people. Pickle is a fucking condiment.
Tried to do this to me already on Twitter.
No.
And I don't think anyone's going to drag me over.
It's a condiment.
It's not a condiment.
You can.
It's a topping.
It's at a condiment bar. Will you, wait a minute, riddle me this. Will you not find a pickle at a condiment bar?
Let's take it this way. So,
do you want some results? Because someone sent a result.
Relish
depends on who they are.
Relish does not have other uses. Relish is 100% a condiment. All condiments are always 100% of the time condiments. Pickles, on the other hand, like you can technically use anything as a topping. Technically anything whatsoever.
All right, here's the definition of condiment.
Mm-hmm.
Something used to enhance the flavor of food, especially a pungent seasoning.
Which is pickle.
I would say
a supplemental food,
anything
such as a sauce that is added to some foods to impart a particular flavor, enhance its flavor, or in some cultures to complement the dish. The term originally described pickled or preserved foods, but has shifted meaning over time. So, according to this, it was one and then over time became another. So,
also, we're both right.
So, we're both right. Which is my favorite.
As far as the time we are living in, you are wrong.
Yes. Yes. And the time you are.
As far as the time you are both.
But like, I don't think, in my opinion, and you know, we can all have our own personal meaning on what a condiment or topping is, but I'd say a condiment cannot stand on its own.
Liz Blanc makes a great
condiment means
sense.
That it is. It
this
has to
condiment
be.
Cannot stand. Liz Blanc. This is Liz Blanc. Very funny comedian. She said, pickles are a standalone food for sure. It's not normal to eat a bowl of mayo or ketchup. It's completely normal to snack on a bowl of pickles.
No, wait a minute. Pickle, however, no, I'm going to go fucking technicality on you motherfuckers because I took the LSAT once to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking pickle,
how'd you do on
quote
it?
On, not very well. Pickle, quote unquote, right?
Take a test and fail it.
I didn't fail it. Listen, this is a long story. Basically me not studying until the last 2 days before and taking an Adderall and trying to pass the LSAT.
I did that with the GMATs, but instead I took an entire prescription of Adderall.
Yeah, well, I passed. I just didn't get any fucking money because I just like fucking got, you know, I couldn't afford it. Anyways, the point is, pickle is ubiquitous with a brined cucumber. However, the term pickled refers to anything that is brined, correct?
Yeah, pickle.
Am I not right? I rest my case.
Okay, so
jury
is different. A pickle is a standalone thing.
Yeah,
a pickle is a thing.
You should just say a pickled cucumber. You should add the fucking suffix to it.
Look at kimchi and call it a pickle. Ever.
Yeah, I call it kimchi because it's its own thing. That's the same thing. Like, oh wait, no, hold on.
According to Ryan's
strike
argument,
strike that from the record.
According to Ryan's argument, a pickled egg is a condiment.
If you no, wait, yes, pickle. Oh yeah, I've liked to put. Haven't you ever had a nice midsummer night's day where you're enjoying a wonderful ham sandwich as one does in the summertime?
Have,
yes. I'm like, you know what? This could use a half pickled egg, and you just chew that shit, and it's fucking wonderful, right? Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
That's a topping.
No, but like, it came from a condiment bar.
I've never seen a pickled egg.
Let's say there was steak at this condiment bar. Chopped steak for you to put on your hot dog.
Oh, that's a good condiment. Hey, man, they have steak condiments here. It's fucking great. It's like, I'm gonna fucking put some prime rib.
If classifying steak as a condiment means there's a free steak that you can just pick as much as you want and put it on whatever you already bought, then I will absolutely agree with Ryan DiPerna.
Yeah,
which
I've
I hate
seen.
Doing. But only if you can show me the place where you can get steak as a condiment.
Oh, I'll show you, buddy. I'm just gonna go to like Longhorn and get
it's
like
little bed and breakfast right outside of Carson City.
Probably it's probably part of a like
Texas somewhere.
No, like what are the Bloody Mary bar? You probably just have like a little
exactly
put in that,
condiment.
No, that's food.
No, that's just food
that's
and
just
a drink.
Food, yeah.
Mm.
That's food and drink. Because they'll put like pizza and shit in that.
Agree to disagree, fellas. It's all condiments to me. That's going to be on my epitaph. Here lies Ryan DiPerna. It was all condiments to him.
you're the skinniest here, so we probably should defer to you. But
yeah, but I'm like I'm not like really skinny. I'm like fat skinny. Like I have
yeah,
the body.
Yeah, that's still skinny.
But I have the yeah, body type, you know, like the alien autopsy, like
I'm
fucking
fat.
Like body.
I'm just regular fat.
Same Z's.
Whatever. You fellas are fine. You fellas are both porking girls out of your league, so it's fine.
Yeah.
You must be doing something right.
I have been told by.
Well, listen, I'm trying to paint the picture for the viewers here.
Our 100% male audience.
I was told by a medical professional once that I am big boned. That's a real thing.
Hey.
Doctor told me I have big old bones.
Oh, man. I heard about Brian Kenny. Girthy bones.
Big boned.
Yeah, you have a big frame. Like, you're a big man.
Big
yeah.
bones.
You're a big man. Big man. Big man on campus, Brian Kenny.
A lot of mushiness around those bones.
Built weird.
Built weird. That's perfect. I'm gonna
my top
weird.
Half is so much longer than my lower half. I mean, I can do this with, like, I never stretch. Uh-huh. And I can just kind of.
Do that because your arms are longer than your legs.
My upper body in general is much longer than my lower body.
Than your legs.
You have like this weird 19th century elephant man body without the tumors. Yeah.
Like a gorilla, yeah.
Did you see that video?
And then my hands, they're big hands, but like they're all palm. I do not have long fingers at all.
That is true.
Yeah. How much bigger the palm is than the fingers.
Yeah, it's like if Vern Troyer had like a fucking hell of a backhand.
I got weird dimensions.
You're like if Vern Troyer got wished upon a star.
I'd like to think that I am Vern Troyer's wildest dream.
Do you guys remember the surreal
that's
life?
That's the best, yeah. your best case scenario, Vern Troyer.
Brian's still fucking like drunk and pissing naked on a scooter. It's just like he's normal size.
That was hilarious.
Fucking,
and it was like they obviously egged him on. They like gave him specifically.
Oh
a
yeah,
bar.
All those fucking people
just filled
it
with tiny little
terrible.
Bottles of liquor. Go, won't this be adorable? And then he comes in and gets absolutely fucking
violently drunk. Yes,
he drank a bottle and
he drank a thimble full of vodka. all those fucking, remember those VH1 daytime shows from the mid-aughts? Like
I was into...
The Pickup Artist.
Pickup Artist was such
I've
a
never
fucking
watched that one.
Terribly good show.
So bad.
I read...
The Game?
The Game, and I read most of Mystery's book. And it wasn't like I was trying to... Because it becomes very clear. It becomes clear very fast. That
Wait,
it
is his name Mystery?
His name.
That's his name.
That's his pickup artist name.
Pickup artist name, and he wears like top hats and goggles.
I've seen pictures of the guy.
Yeah, he's.
He looks like a steampunk rapist.
Basically Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
He looks like Seth Green in Can't Hardly Wait's Wild.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So it's just all these ways of like he started the whole negging thing where you give a girl a compliment that's also kind of like a shitty compliment. Like, oh my God, your hair looks great even though I know you didn't comb it. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Terrible shit.
Shit like that.
Also, The Game was responsible for like a 210% increase in white guys getting kicked out of bars in the mid-aughts, right? Like, I said neg her! Neg her!
Like, negate her value! That's such a specifically good joke. I remember you trying to do that once.
Yeah, I think I did it once or twice.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is such a narrow margin of victory here.
Yeah, I mean,
narrow margin.
That's where I make my living, baby. Yeah, that's where I make
that's
my living.
Make living.
That's why exactly. That's why fucking six white guys that like fucking are afraid of girls love me, and I can get them the suicide bomb for me. But other than that,
Al Pacino
that's about
on
it.
Any given Sunday, yep. It's a game of inches.
I fucking love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Of all time?
Absolutely. My name is Willie. With a beam and... Oh, I'm fucking playing that.
This team, we claw with our fingernails.
All right, I have to give it another watch. I've seen it so maybe excited. Twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like it's a fucked up weird movie.
Like, it is a fucked up weird movie. It's Oliver Stone throws doing me
off.
Football.
The eye thing throws me off.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Just bothers me. She's got a great ass. Have you seen the previews for him doing that Pacino movie or the Paterno
movie? Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet, no.
It looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will be. He's a great. There it is. Gotta get to work. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Come on. My name is Willie. Willie Beeman. I keep the ladies creaming and all my fans. I keep the ladies creaming. You can defeat me. Little motherfucker talking shit. There's a faggot involved. Oh, yeah. LL Cool J is in this movie.
He was like the badass running back.
I love how Jamie Foxx's hairline keeps getting lower and lower with age.
I was listening to a podcast with Owen Benjamin and Kurt Metzger on Rogan.
First of all, why? But go ahead.
Well, because it was Rogan.
Oh, wait. He's here today.
Is it today?
It's today. Fuck. I completely forgot about that.
We should have gone.
I know. The 22nd. Owen Benjamin is at the Capitol Theater.
Okay.
In Cleveland.
Rogan stands behind that guy 100%. He's just a total dick on Twitter, and he just scolded him the whole time.
I'm sympathetic to that Rogan, stance because I'm sure both of you have said that about me. But I'm also
nobody's asked any questions
exactly
about your Twitter.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, but like
I actually retweeted some of your stuff the other night because it's funny.
Yeah, see exactly, Brian, fucking Willie Beeman over here. The point is,
I never said shit about your Twitter.
I know. Listen, I'm making a point. God damn it. Owen Benjamin sucks. That's all.
He's just very adversarial on Twitter, but also those YouTube videos are what
hilarious.
They're like a next level meltdown every time.
I understand. I'm not here to like censor anybody's speech. If you can say the N word in a funny way to end the joke, funny. Willie C.K. has a great one. Fucking Chris Rock. Fucking all of them. Owen Benjamin's not funny enough to do it, and then does it over and over and over again to the point where it's like, dude, you have a fucking, like, you're crazy.
Complex,
yeah, you're like nuts.
Honestly, he hardly spoke on that podcast. It was for the most part Kurt Metzger steamrolling Joe Rogan and Owen Benjamin.
I like
Kurt Metzger. Kurt Metzger's a maniac, too.
He's a real fucking maniac. He's very funny, but he is a maniac.
Like, he's funny, and then he is really off-putting, and then he's funny again. Like, I go back and forth with Kurt Metzger, like, liking him.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Kirk Fox. That guy, I like that.
Kirk Metzger, his fucking hour, White Precious, is hysterical. It's so funny. I was a huge fan of his.
He's a good comic.
And he seems to very much be one of those white guys who's like, it's not that bad for anybody else. It's bullshit. We're just as much of a victim as you are. Like, he seems to be very much like a...
He did tour with Barry Crimmins at the very end, which
Barry was
is
trying to get
weird.
Chill the fuck out of it. But he also, like, his podcast, when he was doing the podcast with Sherrod Small, they would balance each other out, and that made it really
same thing
fun.
What happened to Anthony Cumia, man. Like,
when he had Patrice to go back and forth with, that made Anthony's statements, like, you got the humor of all of it. But when you're just ranting without anybody to keep you in check,
exactly.
Then it's fucking like if we have John here and we make jokes, and he goes back and forth with us talking about how he wants to kill white people, we're making like that
funny because we're friends.
But if I'm just like, hey, blah blah blah, black people are this and that, and you're not making a joke, you're just saying something, and there's not someone to kind of go back and forth with, then it gets real weird.
Also,
it just gets uncomfortable.
Also, did you see that Owen Benjamin was like calling fucking Anthony Jeselnik?
That's what most of the podcast was Joe Rogan going, stop talking to Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh, was this recently? Yeah, like in the past couple days?
So wait, what did Anthony Jeselnik
do? No, like Owen Benjamin like had a meltdown against Anthony or Jeselnik, and Jeselnik was like, I don't respect you, you're a half-bit piano comic, why wouldn't I block you? You're fucking going increasingly unhinged alt-right rants, like, fuck you, basically. And then it was like days and days. I mean, first of all, this motherfucker has 55,000 1,000 tweets. Do you understand how long
you're tweeting? Yeah.
Like,
it's not as much as a certain person we know.
No, we'll just say his name, Tony Mazur.
Oh,
fuck him.
I got to see how many tweets he's at.
He's at 100. All right.
Let's make a bet.
He is the all-time most active Twitter user I've ever seen. I looked, and he was like way above ESPN, CNN, big time, Al Jazeera, big time fucking publication.
And this was years ago. Remember, we had this whole conversation when I lived in that one-bedroom apartment. This was like 3 years ago.
Over under 200,000.
Under, but like over 120. 120. I say
120. Okay, 120.
At this point, I'd say he's over 200,000.
Okay. I'm going to take the under.
Survey says?
Yeah, I was definitely wrong.
Yeah.
What is it?
124.5 thousand.
Oh!
Yeah, wow.
That's still fucking retarded.
That's a lot.
What's the date that it started?
It says that.
It should, in the corner. Member since 2000 whatever. I got the calculator pulled up.
I don't have that.
All right. Well, let's just say since 2010. All right, let's be generous. That's when fucking Twitter came out, 2010. Yeah. 125,000?
124.5 thousand.
All right, I'll just round up. 125,000 divided by 365, right? That's how I'm doing this. Equals times 8.
What? Divided by 8?
No, times 8, because he did the division.
That means, yeah, that's 2,739 tweets per year.
How do you even see how many tweets you've tweeted?
If you, like, scroll down on your phone, like, at the top, like,
wait,
right before the fucking...
over 8 years, you said it's
2,739 per year.
I can only see...
No.
That's wrong.
Okay, yeah, that is really wrong.
They moved some decimal places, bud.
Okay, 27,000.
Yeah.
300.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go.
I forgot to add a zero. Yes.
Bring it up on the computer. Maybe it only shows on the computer, not like on the app, when they started. Let's get an accurate number here.
It's
remarkable. It is.
I will state this for the record. I think that in person, this guy is actually decent to be around and fine. But like all of a sudden, he fucking turns into like Hugh Hewitt.
I stopped reading Twitter all around, and yes, he is a nice guy in person, absolutely. So it says he's at 120. Where does it say when he started Twitter?
Oh, okay, 2008. All right, so it's not that high. I'm sorry. It's only 15,000. It's only 15,000.
It's probably like 20.
About 12.5 thousand a year.
There's also 365 days in a year.
10 years.
The point is
12.5 thousand.
I still want to see how many tweets I've tweeted. I don't know where you see how many you've tweeted.
If you kind of like scroll down a little bit.
What?
The point is that that's
CNN has tweeted 175,500.
It's close. He's getting up there.
At one point, he was more. He's slowed down, I guess.
Are we dragging everybody on this fucking...
It's looking like it.
All right.
ESPN is at 95.1 thousand. There we go. There's a good benchmark.
30,000 likes because I just like every tweet that people send me.
Fuck him. Who else do we hate? Fuck Chad Zumok. Fuck him. He's a piece of fucking shit.
Now I gotta get emails.
I will fucking kill... Thanks. Ah, well, you know. Personally, Ryan DiPerna fucking hates Chad Zumok, and I hope that he does humanity a favor and slits his wrists. That's all. Anyways, who else do we fucking hate? And then you guys can be silent. That's fine. You shouldn't. This is my battle. This is my battle.
Personally,
this is my battle. You don't have to
say
fucking
anything
about
it.
Nor shouldn't you. But like, I fucking hate that guy. I hope he fucking dies. You should shoot a rocket with him strapped to the top of it like Wile E. Coyote into the fucking sun. Fucking hate him. Who else do I hate?
This is my fault because I was like, Ryan, I know you want to go to the gym, but let's go drink instead.
Yeah, it really is your fault.
And so he drank vodka sodas because, you know, he didn't go to the gym. So
yeah, exactly.
Exercise.
I was trying to fucking,
Who else does Ryan hate?
Everybody.
I don't hate everybody. That's a misconception about me. I think I'm very I think I'm very nice to people.
Yeah, you do have all the get-togethers here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people like me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. Unless fucking you're an asshole.
Let's talk about somebody we love, and that's Joe Thomas. I was listening to the Tomahawk podcast before this, and he was naming his all Browns offense since he's been there.
I did not see whom he picked.
Whom he picked for offensive line, it was him, obviously, Betonio, Alex Mack, John Greco, and Mitchell Schwartz. So pretty much the 2014 line.
Sure.
And then tight end, he chose Ben Watson.
Really?
Over Kellen Winslow and Jordan Cameron.
Ben Watson's still in the league, isn't he?
He's still in the league, and he said that he was just the best blocker, and overall his career has probably been the best. And it was, yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I just remember that year that Kellen Winslow had like one good season and Jordan Cameron had one really good season.
Mm-hmm.
But those were pass catching situations, not as much. Ben Watson had
a couple of like big time touchdowns.
Yeah.
In the Mangini era, right?
I'll agree Ben Watson is good.
Him and Hawk picked their teams. They're very similar. There are a couple differences, but their O lines were the same and their tight end was actually the same. And then for wide receivers, they both went Josh Gordon.
Sure.
Joe Thomas took Hawk to, you know, because he's his co-host.
That's not a bad
pick,
though.
Between him and Jarvicious.
Oh, I would have taken Jarvicious there. But Hawk's not like, it wasn't an entirely, like, friend pick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He had a good fucking.
He had, like, almost 1,000 yards that one. Yeah. He was really, real close.
I liked when he was on. And I think if we were more consistent as a team, he would have been used.
Absolutely. Even
more prominently.
And then Braylon Edwards, Joe Thomas chose because of that one rookie year.
Hit 17 touchdowns.
Yeah, he had a fuck ton of touchdowns. And Hawk chose Terrell Pryor instead.
Oh, yeah, I'd go Terrell Pryor. What about nobody picked Evan Moore?
Evan Moore was mentioned for the tight end.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Evan Moore was fucking great.
Was good.
I thought Evan Moore was going to be
potential.
Like.
Potential. Evan Moore was just like he had a couple of awesome plays, and you're like, yeah, let's get this guy the ball. And then all through training camp, like all he was like the sweetheart of that camp.
What was
and
that?
All of the fucking beat writers were just talking about Evan Moore, and then we got to the season, and we got zero Evan Moore. He was hardly even in the game on the goal line.
Well, and that's fucking on Pat Shurmur.
What? Who was the dude? This is like the start of Derek Anderson's reign. Who's that? He was after Kellen Winslow. God, who was he? White dude.
What position?
Jordan.
Tight end.
Jordan Cameron.
No. Maybe white, even before that.
White dude.
It might have been before
Steve
we got
Hyden?
Killed. Was that Hyden?
Steady Steve Hyden?
It might have been Steve.
Who was the fucking white guy from really early on?
This might have been even
Darren Cheverini?
No.
He was
no,
a wide receiver.
Early. I think
a
it
wide
was
receiver.
Steve Hyden. Yeah, like Hyden was good.
Gary Barnage had a great
Barnage
year.
Had a good
the
year.
Barn Dog.
Yeah.
I love the Barn Dog.
And then he was gone very soon after. We stopped using him and he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys picked Duke Johnson as their running back.
Duke Johnson?
Who's
great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Who was the running back we had that had the most carries in one game? And he was like
Jamal White.
Jamal Lewis.
No. This is like a year after Jamal Lewis. He was like a little tiny guy.
Jamal White.
Jamal Harrison?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Jamal. Yeah, where he had
the most yards in a game for the Cleveland Browns.
Was it the yards?
289
I think
yards.
He did both. I think he had most carries and most yards.
I don't remember most carries, but yeah. You could be right about
Jamal
that.
Jamal Lewis was the shit, by the way.
He was good.
He used to murder the Cleveland Browns
when he was
a Raven.
Yeah.
And
he had like
12,000 yard or 1,200 yard fucking year.
13.
Was it 13? Yeah, that's fucking insane.
At 2008, yeah. Browns had him at 1,300 yards, Kellen Winslow at over 1,000 receiving, Braylon Edwards at over 1,000 receiving and like 15 touchdowns. Derek Anderson, who had 29
Horse
touchdowns.
Balls.
He was Joe Thomas's quarterback pick.
Good.
And
he should have been.
Chose Hoyer.
Hoyer. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I mean, Hawk was around for Hoyer. Yeah, I don't know. What a sad list, though.
When you get down to it.
How many of them are still in the NFL? Horse balls.
Yeah.
Duke, pretty much that whole offensive line.
Any, yeah.
Ben Watson. Terrell Pryor.
Ish. Has he been signed yet with anybody?
He will.
He will.
I want the Browns to sign him. Yeah,
yeah. I agree.
We should not be moving forward as if Josh Gordon is a 100%.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We should be planning and having him be a pleasant surprise bonus, but like he obviously has shown, especially, and I got into it with this dude at work the other day. He's like, look what they give him. Like, this quarterback's overthrown him. He's getting deep. Like, of course he's just going to start, you know, kind of being like, fuck this. Motherfucker, you sat out seasons.
Yeah.
Full seasons. And you are just going to go out there and you're not going to block hard. You're going to pull up on overthrown balls and not lay out for him. I mean, dude.
Yeah,
you are a problem. Like, if they get rid of Josh Gordon, I will be sad because he'll go somewhere else and do really, really well. But I'll kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, while you have him on this contract where you're hardly paying him anything, fine, keep him. But, like, if you can get some real good value for Josh Gordon, I wouldn't blame you for doing it.
I think it's all about that value that you could get.
Yeah,
but he's a great talent. But he is, I mean, he didn't want to get hurt. And why get hurt for a team that's going to go 0-16?
Because motherfucker, you have sat out seasons for several seasons because you just keep fucking up. Everybody in the NFL smokes weed. How come you couldn't just smoke weed and not get caught? Why are you like the only one getting caught over and over and over again?
Way cooler than everybody else.
Yeah.
You're still
be
on,
a lot
you're still
cooler
on,
if you were Josh Gordon.
Contract, all you do is fuck up for this team. Like, go out there and try. At the very least, audition. Show fans. Like, people, you know, as a fan, you should come out there and you should really try and prove something to us.
Listen.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, exactly.
How come you don't think that these, like, we're supposed to feel bad when these dudes get hurt?
I don't feel
we're
bad.
We're supposed to care. And yet they don't give a fuck about fans at all. And they'll always say the fans make me, but like...
I don't give a fuck about my job.
But you don't have fans.
Yeah, I do have fans.
Maybe.
Right. I care about the fans.
Maybe the fucking
point.
Guy in the office fucking really likes how I make the coffee.
I do have fans, and I care about the fans to a certain point, but they also don't always know the whole story.
Yeah.
So...
So you should be able to just go out there with your fans that have been waiting for you and just kind of give it a half-ass effort? You should just not give a fuck?
It depends on the situation. If I'm working on new material, yeah, I'm going to go out there and try and do stuff, but that's a new material situation.
That's for practice.
Yeah.
Do it at practice. Don't do it when people paid a whole bunch of money to see you. I've been very excited.
But it's the best. A whole bunch of people didn't pay money to see him.
That's true. And
if,
like,
if
fucking...
I'm at an empty club, if it's Hilarities on a Sunday and there's 22 people there, I'm going to fuck around.
Beyond, and even beyond Bill, like, say, like, fucking...
There's nothing beyond
Bill. Well, yeah, that's right.
There is Bill.
He's the fucking, he's the pinnacle of the fucking...
Else.
Bill and not
he's the
Bill.
Fucking, yes, because the world is full of features. say, like, you know, like somebody at the fucking Comedy Store or whatever, like, people pay to get money at the Comedy Store, but like Chris Rock or somebody like that, who I would equate his talent with fucking Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon's on fucking,
people,
you know,
not pay a bunch of money,
right? Josh Gordon, Chris Rock,
to go,
Bill,
like,
Squire.
Go and
got
see
it.
Like that, like that's what that is.
People,
that is
all right,
like an open mic.
People pay, or then beyond that, people pay a bunch of money to go see fucking Dave Chappelle, and Dave Chappelle fucking talks for fucking 4 hours until he comes up with 20 minutes of fucking material, and people eat it up. Same thing with fucking Josh Gordon, right?
No, not the same thing.
How not? Why is it not?
Because,
it,
like, all that shit is
it's
practice.
Really
if you say that he's dogging it at practice, I'll be like, okay, kind of, like,
but
fine.
You're saying that, like,
this is
hard.
The
it's,
game.
But
this
hold
is
on.
The
it's,
game.
I'm
There's 16
say,
of them.
It's hard to equate comedy to football.
If people came to see you, if a lot of people came
if
to see you.
If a lot of people came
you,
to see me, I'd do my best.
Yes.
To you, but I'm saying somebody... Okay,
but some
let's
people,
be honest.
But some people are going to think that I didn't do my best when I did do my best. Because
well,
see, you care about these players so much. You are 100% players' rights. You don't give a, you not only
don't
give
do.
A fuck about the owners, but you don't give a fuck about
because
the
fans.
Because
they get fucked
either.
Over, dude. They
you,
get fucked. Yeah,
oh, do
because
they make
I
all
watch,
these millions of dollars? They get really
I
fucked over. You care more about these millionaires than you do about just like blue-collar people going to see the Cleveland Browns.
It takes nothing from you and I to watch this every Sunday and get worked up about it and then fucking be fine. These guys die at 40 years old. Like, they should get all the money that they fucking
they got
possibly can.
A free college degree to do the kind of jobs that we can do. And
pretty
they,
sure Josh Gordon didn't get
well,
the degree.
I can't,
that's their own
well,
goddamn
A,
fault.
That didn't happen. B, I can't fucking catch a ball like Josh Gordon. I can't fucking run or anything like that. I'm telling you, like,
in those boots.
What does that matter?
He has a skill that the market has placed a value on, where he should be able to make millions of fucking dollars to.
But what Brian's saying
it.
Is, if he's going to make that money, he's going to have people coming out to spend money to see him.
Yeah,
he should put the effort in
to make the money.
And again,
earn the money.
And it would please me if he did, and I would get mad at him in the moment if he dogged it, which he did, admittedly, to not put out his maximum effort, because, like, you know, there's money riding on that too. But at the end of the day, he and his peers are part of the whole machine that make it working, and they have nothing that to show for it after a while, other than an early fucking death for all of us to fucking be entertained.
They have millions and millions of dollars. They like,
but you can't enjoy it when you're dead at 40.
Play 2 or 3 years. Like you go use your college degree when you're done, but you make at least $400,000 a year. Now, for us, if we made $100,000 a year, that's really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
That's a great year.
I'd retire right now.
Yeah. If we made $100,000
a year,
these guys at minimum get that for 1 year. So they pretty much get a head start on the rest of us normal people by earning a 4-year monster salary for 1 year in the NFL at league minimum. So, no, I don't feel bad for these guys. Even if you last one fucking year, you got a free education through your college scholarship, and then – also, you got to figure that these dudes are making extra money on autograph signing afterwards. If you, like, let's say you're fucking Joe Thomas, even if you didn't make that money in the NFL, you're set up for life.
Sure.
Set up a fucking car dealership, live a regular person's life, and you're taken care of by this city. Most Browns players and most players in whatever city they play in, if you can make a name for yourself at all, you're taken care of for life. These guys have so many advantages over the everyday person that I don't think that wasting our energy on caring about their rights is really all that important.
But now I will, and I agree.
Caring about how you make this city feel, and these people that really do support you no matter what, that, you know, buying the Browns gear, watching the Browns gear, listening to every single radio show, just caring about the team and really focusing on the team and keeping your thoughts on this team and you're letting your emotions ride on this team. Kids buying jerseys.
Sure.
All this shit. These dudes feel zero responsibility to the fans. They can say they did want to all they, you know, they can say they do all they want to, but at the end of the day, these guys have it great. All
right, well,
they have it fucking great.
I understand. Bill and I are from Edina. You're from Rocky River. I'm sure fucking Phil Taylor, who came, you know what I mean, has a different perspective on all this shit. And when fucking, like, you know, it's a perspective that us not being successful fucking athletes or coming from like fucking the
middle class up.
Yeah. That we have no fucking perspective on it. So then, like, let's say Pryor, for example, right? Like, let's just say he washes out of the fucking NFL. He washed out of college because he was fucking getting tattoos for fucking
giving away his pants.
Exactly.
His old pants statue.
How much money have people above him made? Pryor came from fucking dirt poor fucking nothing Pennsylvania.
I don't think that's true.
I believe that's true.
I think he's from Jeanette, Pennsylvania. I don't think he was dirt poor.
All right. Well, then that's a bad example. Whoever. There's a million examples of fucking
guys that came from
nothing.
And then,
but they get like fucking people like us getting mad about them. Sometimes you just have a bad day, man. Have you ever had a bad day at fucking work? And I understand.
Like, once again, go back to how much money they make. There has to be a trade-off. It can't just be like, every single job out there has a trade-off, and it has somebody that's doing less work than you that is making all the money because they put up the financial capital as sort of a risk, even though it's a pretty safe investment. That's their money on the line.
But Terrell Pryor is going to
And also, that's our fucking money on the line as a city in that stadium. So you're taking all of our fucking tax money. Go play the goddamn games. Try. Just
he
try.
Will,
but that's not just, on the
want an
athlete's
update?
Fault. Yes,
he's going to go to the Seahawks or the Jets.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope he goes for the Seahawks and tears it up because I like Terrell Pryor. But that's not our money. That's money that the fucking Jimmy Haslam and before him Randy Lerner and before him Al Lerner fleeced from the city. That has nothing to do with us. It's all a business to everybody. I don't understand why there's an animus towards the players all the time when the fucking owners are the ones that are the fucking crooks, not the players. The owners are the ones that set the market for the fucking players. Nobody, let's go back to baseball, right? Nobody fucking forced the owner of the Cincinnati Reds to pay Homer Bailey $100 million. They just did it. And now, like, have you read all the stuff about this offseason? Why there's all these free agents that are still fucking available? Because the owners collectively decided salaries have been getting too high. We need to fucking not sign anybody, artificially drive the market down, and have no consequences about that. If that was like the steel industry or anything else, they would be facing a federal fucking indictment right now. They're the ones that said it.
Really? No, no. They would be, if it was the price to the customer, they would be facing a federal
But they're
indictment.
Artificially, you're artificially decreasing the price. Major League Baseball, their revenue topped $10 billion this last year. It's a growth fucking industry. If the steel industry fucking, say, iron ore, I don't know how to make fucking steel, right? Like, say, steel kept going up. Like, the price of steel kept going up. But then they were like, collectively, they were like, you know what?
Well, the price of steel did keep going up, and that's why it all went to China.
Well, yes. That's bad.
Yeah, but if they all got together and said, we're only going to pay our floor managers $50,000 a year tops, everybody would go, okay, and then the law would not care about
that.
Not
if they floor managers don't have a union that collectively bargained for what they have, though.
Yes, they
do. It's a different. Well, but it's a difference.
But it's not illegal to fix your salary caps. It's not illegal to.
There's no salary cap in baseball. It is illegal when you're collectively beside, like,
it's
secretly.
It's not illegal to decide how much you pay your employees. That's not illegal. It's illegal to defraud your investors. It's illegal to defraud the government and the tax system.
But are they?
But I don't know
but
the
colluding
ends
together
exactly.
to make it so you don't have to pay market value for players that. Maybe it's not illegal, but it's sketchy. It's definitely sketchy.
It's illegal because that is collectively bargained with the union and the fucking owners to be like at a certain price. So if you're underhandedly not negotiating with the union and as owners getting together,
players, yeah,
that's illegal. That's collusion. Hold on. I just read something fucking great the other day. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
I don't give a fuck about these dudes or their feelings or their paychecks.
I do. I care.
I don't.
I think, I mean, I want them to go out and win and try and play. I care less of, like, when people are like, I don't like what they say on Twitter, like, when they get into their personal lives and shit like that. I don't care about their personal lives as long as they're not being a total human piece of shit. If, you know.
I don't care about that either.
I don't.
Say whatever you want.
But, I mean, I'm saying if they're, like, committing crimes or, like, beating women and stuff like that, murdering people, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Ray Carew.
I don't quite like that guy, but I think there's a balance to it, and that's the whole thing. There needs to be checks and balances for the players. I mean, they shouldn't just get everything they want without having to do the work. They got to do the work. They got to produce. But I generally know that their careers are short. They are taken advantage of a lot, and they are they're people, so they
nobody
like,
really gives a shit about coal miners or anybody else that are seriously taken advantage of.
No, I agree.
And
because nobody
everybody spends so much time thinking about these millionaires and them getting more millions, and it's like,
but it's labor general.
It's such a different specific skill compared to like being able to
anybody
be a professional wide receiver is very different than. Being
I don't root for the owners to make money. I don't like the owners either. I root for the institution of the Cleveland Browns. Whoever is at the helm of it can fuck off. I haven't liked pretty much very few players and people that have been involved with the Cleveland Browns that I've liked. But the Cleveland Browns to me are separate than Jimmy Haslam, the owner, and all of the players that have represented the Cleveland Browns. It is its own institution.
Well, and they did do certain things to kind of correct the salary situation, especially in the NFL. When
the
they put a minimum on what you could pay, because you remember like Jamarcus Russell holding out for his contract, and
they,
not starting until like halfway through the
they
season.
They started
because,
a tier system with the draft.
So you and I think that's a good way to bring people into it. And then you get a guy like Kirk Cousins getting a fully guaranteed contract,
which is great.
I think that's fair. I think that's important for the players to understand their value and get. Like a guaranteed contract, like Kaepernick kind of got fucked because his contract was all fluff and no guarantee.
Absolutely. It's insane that a guy like Tyrann Mathieu got cut from the Cardinals, the best safety in the NFL, because he was going to make $6 million, and then he signed for fucking $5 million. You know what I mean?
But that, yeah. But like, I mean, that's not really price fixing. That's just like
that's NFL. That's different. Much, yeah. No. I'm saying no. Exactly. I'm not saying that that's different. I'm saying specifically in Major League Baseball, just because it's the only major sport that doesn't have a salary cap. Here's how this article starts. This article from February in the LA Times. Are Major League Baseball owners engaging in collusion again? Some players and agents think so. Quote, "You are so damn dumb," then Commissioner Pete Oberoth told Major League Baseball team owners in a meeting in 1985. "Given the choice between pressing a red button that would give them a World Series win and a $10 million loss, or a black button that would give them a guaranteed $4 million profit but a middle-of-the-pack finish, most of you would push the red button." That's how owners fucking feel. They don't give a fuck about us. That's the thing. Profit, so yeah. Everybody wants to fucking say, well, why the players don't fucking want to respect, you know, they could give a fuck and we give about them. The owners don't give a fuck about us either. More so, the owners will fucking field, as is example in baseball, 20 of the 30 teams are actively punting on this season. Like, they didn't sign anybody. They're all going to be fucking... The Indians, well, that's the Yankees, the Astros, Dodgers, Cubs, and
that's
Nationals
a huge problem
are
that
it.
The Major League Baseball has, because the teams that stay at the top have their window, they go for it, and the other teams kind of take those years off. And that's been baseball for 20 years now.
But never more so more apparent. Like, they used now, to just fucking, like... Yeah, we're going to fucking put out this team. And a lot of that has to do with analytics, admittedly, where, you know, like...
But there's also a new way of doing things in baseball and in all sports where why would you pay for something when you're going to get almost the exact same output from someone?
Sure, but as
the
a
analytics
civil...
part of things, I think that that's the biggest driving factor.
I think so, too.
You know, it has come out that these guys that are demanding monstrous money that hit 50 home runs, that doesn't add that much to a team.
Yes, sir. Taking a lot of wins.
Yeah.
Sure. I agree.
So that kind of, and that's what sets the market value, is the willingness to pay a guy that's not going to make you money. So why would you pay someone?
But as a player, but again, the whole fucking,
over this conversation.
That's fair. But as the whole reason why we got on this conversation to begin with, as a player, why would you care? You're a fucking piece of meat. Pickles are a topping. Listen, people, I just came here to play the Mel Gibson soundboard.
Just fucking smile and blow me! Because I deserve it!
He's the best!
While we're still talking, before we get into Mel Gibson, Sam Darnold is looking like the number one pick this week. I know it could all change. But, Brian, what are your thoughts on the Darnold?
Hey, Darnold. I don't know. Like, I really don't know how to feel because the turnovers do bother me, but he will be sitting for a year. Hopefully they can correct his mechanics. To me, I guess he does seem like the best one in the draft.
As far as quarterbacks go,
but, like, let's all really, really hope that that the Giants trade out of that pick. Makes a move. If somebody trades into that pick, then we are pretty much guaranteed whatever quarterback we want, then Saquon Barkley.
That'd be great.
But they already signed fucking Carlos Hyde, man.
Don't give a fuck, Saquon Barkley.
They're not going to sign him, or they're not going to draft him just because they signed. Why would they fucking sign Carlos Hyde? Because
they signed a middle-of-the-pack guy,
To just waste $5 million? Duke Johnson's going to be the second back regardless.
Maybe it's a smokescreen to try and get him at 4.
Maybe.
Or just take the best defensive player available.
If people think that the running back position's taken, then people will certainly think we're taking a quarterback. Hopefully we can scare somebody into trading into that number 2 spot.
Listen.
That's best case scenario. I hope that's what they're aiming for.
There was a trade.
The Jets, right?
Didn't the Jets trade 3 with the Colts? Yeah.
And they gave up 3 second-round picks and the number 6 overall pick. So to move up 2 spaces, they traded 3 second-round picks and their first-round pick. They swapped firsts.
And you think they're going quarterback?
Yes.
Well, they have to.
There's no way you.
Which
you
is also, I don't understand why.
That much shit for any sort of player other than a quarterback.
But I also don't understand why they signed Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown then.
Hedging bets. I don't know why they didn't shoot for more talent to put around them, because it doesn't seem like they really have much of anything at all. They got Crowell, which is okay, fine. Whatever.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson was good. Who's the other?
What's his name? Retired. Forte retired.
No, but who's the other wide receiver they had that had a good season?
Enwoo or whatever.
No, no. The one that they got from
Decker?
Seahawks. They got this guy from the Seahawks that.
Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
No.
No, not Percy Harvin.
He's retired.
Ricardo Lockett?
No.
Ricardo Lockett, I think, is retired from getting his fucking head screwed around his shoulders. Remember that?
No.
Or not Ricardo Lockett, the other Lockett. On Seattle. He was a special teams player that was really good.
Oh, yeah. Tyler Lockett.
Jermaine Kearse.
Yes, yes.
Jermaine Kearse, yeah.
Who is not, like, the best, but he was good last season. He had a decent season. And Robbie Anderson was great.
Look.
I don't know. I think they're positioned to be actually good. Not actually good, but, like, watchable for the next, like, 2 years. You know what I mean?
The Browns?
Mm-hmm.
I think they take Darnold number one. And then you take the best possible player at number four. And
Chubb.
If Saquon's there, you get him.
I hope Saquon.
I also don't put that much value on a running back because it's
Chubb
just
is
not
a monster. No, look at the past two drafts. A running back's been taking it four, and those teams immediately went from non-contenders to the playoffs.
And then
the Cowboys.
Do you know
who was
the Jaguars?
Jaguars. Okay.
And then do you know the run on chubbing up T-shirts that people will sell like outside of the stadium?
We
after
have
that?
Ogba though. Like we are strong at that other defensive end position.
That's why they're
going to
take
away a knee.
It's all a smoke screen. They're going to take
Fitzpatrick.
Darnold and Fitzpatrick. It's a done deal. And if Fitzpatrick
don't love Fitzpatrick.
I don't know enough about. I won't lie. I don't know
Chubb
enough about
I
him.
Love.
But again,
he's
like you said, you have Ogba, you have fucking Okunjobi or whatever, who was fucking pretty decent on the line, and they run a 3-4 anyways, right? And 4-3. Fucking, oh, they run a 4-3? Okay. And Myles Garrett. So who's their fourth starting down lineman?
Well, it was Shelton.
Currently.
It was Shelton.
It's going to be, I don't know, Trevon Coley.
All right.
Or Jamie Meter even. I hope Meter wins it out. But then you have Ogunjobi and Caleb Brantley, who's probably going to be in his second year coming up because he fits right into that Greg Williams attacking, almost Aaron Donald-like defensive tackle, a little bit undersized, but a penetrator. And then Ogunjobi kind of does the same thing, too. I think Larry Ogunjobi's legit.
Brantley,
they've
the
got
fucking
a solid starter there.
Tony Rizzo of the Cleveland Browns. He's got a strong
cleared
backhand.
Of all of that, thank you very much.
Tony Rizzo is not.
Not Tony Rizzo.
Oh, okay.
Tony Rizzo was talking shit on Joe Thomas.
Oh yeah, did you hear that? Yeah,
he said, like, he's not a Cleveland
hilarious
sports legend.
What? Yeah. Because apparently, so angry. Joe Thomas won't go on their show, right? I don't know if this is a fact or not, but like he did was convicted of domestic violence, and I don't know another reason why he wouldn't go on the show.
So Tony Rizzo was convicted.
Yes, he pled guilty. He served county jail time.
Hmm.
Joe Thomas won't go on. So they were talking about why, you know, what's he going to do? Is he going to retire? You know what? I got news for fucking Joe Thomas. I'm a made man in this town. You come into my world, you don't know the half of it. And like, well, this
he
thing about
fucking around, right?
No, sir.
Gross.
He was not. He was 100% serious. Yeah, he's gross. He's fucking Tony Rizzo. He had a fucking,
like,
he wore
Rizzo,
toupee.
Actually.
For fucking until 2009.
Oh, earlier, I meant to say, this brings it back up, when I mentioned the podcast I listened to with Owen Benjamin and
Kurt
Metzger.
Yeah.
You know who used to be super fucking bald?
Who?
Joel McHale.
Oh, really?
I believe it, yeah. He had the fucking, like, widow's peak for a long time.
As they said on the podcast, now it looks like he has Dragon Ball Z hair, but
he's got gray hair now.
Here.
Same, he has the Daniel Tosh fucking hair treatment. Daniel Tosh was doing the same thing.
This is a drastic difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
I saw, absolutely. I saw fucking Bill Hader the other day, and Bill Hader is looking like that before picture now, and it makes me sad, because I'm going to be there in a couple of years,
man. You're
already
fucking there.
Yeah, but I had illustrious hair. It was down to my fucking shoulders for a while.
You should have seen me as a little boy. I had so much hair. As a young boy. I had quite, here, I'll show you quite a bit.
It's sad, man.
Thick head of hair.
My hair's
you do,
today.
And I'm fucking really jealous
good,
about it.
I was a good-looking child, and then puberty hit hard. Real.
My dad's really bald. My grandpa has a full head of hair, but like all that shit is bullshit. Like that doesn't make a difference.
It's mom's side, I thought.
That's
no,
an
that's
urban,
all garbage. Oh, yeah. My that's grandfather died with a very nice head of hair. Very full, silver, foxy kind of hair.
I'm hanging on. I think, like, I'll give it another year before I rock the mohawk permanently for another 2 years after that. And then when it completely goes down, I'm going to, like, spend 2 years growing a big-ass beard and then get, like, a funky pair of glasses and then wear a hat all the time.
Why don't you go live in the woods and stop
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, we're at an hour anyways.
Look how handsome that child was.
Let me see. Oh, my goodness. Right? Well, look at that thick head
Your
of hair.
Your head is gigantic.
You are. That's you sort of look head. Like a yeah. mastermind, a like a little bit. know?
I was a handsome child. Look at that sexy kid.
No, that was before you were pumped full of cum.
Oh, yeah. All the cum.
All right. That's a terrible way to fucking end that.
I think
about
so.
About bringing up fucking Brian's molestation
kids,
history.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done here? We're done here. What are we plugging? You plugging anything? Any of you plugging?
Just butts.
Just butts.
Just someone tweet us once.
Someone tweet us, yeah. Yes.
Do it.
Who are you?
Tell us who you are, Japan.
We see ya. We see ya. RDPcomedy.com. Fuck
oh, yeah. Brian. Ryan's got a website now.
I do. It's great.
He's trying hard.
It looks great. It looks pretty, I have to say.
It's all right.
The content isn't very good, but it looks nice. All right.
I'm going to get a website next.
Bye. Fuck you.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.